Well, let's figure out what the Raptors are up to and around the NBA. Bobby Marks is the ESPN NBA front office insider. Bobby, welcome. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good. Just to start off, just an overview of what you think the Raptors are doing and where this is headed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting as far as what happens with Goran Dragic, who they'll get in that signing trade. Yeah, there's no teams out there, right? Dallas is going to give up, multiple guys. I've heard them linked to him. I think Dragic will be on the roster, and then when we get closer to the trade deadline, maybe something happens there. I'd be surprised if there's a third team suddenly involved here. I know he said that, I guess, in the news media today, but you get likely Precious Achiuwa, so you get a former first round pick. And Dragic for the short stay, he's still a pretty good player. So, you could probably play him with Fred and or have him come off the bench here. So I think this is a retool of the roster.
Bobby, I confuse easily. And when I have paid so much attention to the Raptors in the last year or so, I remain confused by Masai Ujiri not having a contract for next season. Does anybody in the NBA have any clue what's going on here?
No, because it's kind of business as usual. I mean, it's not like Bobby Webster, who's GM, is like kind of running the flying the plane solo here. Masai's part of everything. He's part of the. I saw the pictures with Gary Trent when they did the deal. So he's it's business as usual. So until we hear otherwise, then I would say that he's going to be here for the long haul. It's just a matter of kind of when this contract's going to be signed.
Bobby, what kind of a grade would you give the Raptors on their recent draft?
I like Scottie Barnes. I know, what happens? Everyone gets caught up in mock drafts,
yeah.
Right? And it was pegged as this four-player draft, with the, Cunningham, Green, Mobley, Suggs, and it was overhyped that way. And I think Scottie Barnes is a really good player. I think, defensively, probably one of the better defenders in the league. I mean, he's got length. A little bit of a work in progress on the offensive end, and he's a great kid. I mean, a terrific person. So I know there were certainly Raptors fans disappointed because you could have had Suggs, and we people were deeming him as the Lowry replacement. And so I think it's kind of in a wait and see mode, and we'll see how Barnes comes in. But he's got a chance to be. The comparison is a little bit kind of Jason Tatum-ish. If he develops, certainly on the offensive end here, just based on his length, and he can play multiple positions. So I hate giving grades, but I didn't think it was a reach. I think if you were taking Josh Giddey at four, from what the kid from Australia, and that's a little bit of a reach. But I don't think I think you could have made the argument for for Scottie for jumping in that group.
Years ago, it wasn't a basketball thing, but there was a comparison between Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf. And it was ongoing discussion constantly. Who was going to be the better quarterback? Well, all these years later, we know the answer long to that question. Do we get so caught up today in social media, in mock drafts, in Twitter, in even the television shows we see on a daily basis rating the prospects, when the guys from the teams are doing their diligence and they're putting in their work? And God bless my friends on Twitter who support me every single day. But is there time to take a step back and really look at this?
I just think we're just in such a day and age of social media where I just think we can't take it too serious, right? I think that it's just the nature of the beast, right? As far as, there's going to be mock drafts and that people love that and stuff. But, I worked in the front office. We didn't, no offense to my friends at ESPN, we didn't take the ESPN mock draft and base it off our big board. we just saw players differently than maybe what mock drafts saw. Or maybe maybe there was something that popped or psychological or medical that, people outside of the teams new. So I think it's a great resource from a fan perspective because it gives people some knowledge about some of these guys. But I do think it gets, and nowadays, certainly where social media is, we get wrapped up in this, is that there was probably, when the commissioner said Scotty Barnes from Florida State, probably there was probably 90% of Raptors fans were like, oh my God, what just happened? And it was based off them probably reading, you know, reading these mock drafts.
Well, if you go back to the first draft of the Raptors, and it was held here in Toronto, and I was there, and all the people wanted the Raptors to pick Ed O'Bannon, and Isaiah Thomas took Damon Stoudemire, and the first ever Raptors draft pick was booed. That was before he won the Rookie of the Year.
Well, and I picked, and I was part of the New Jersey team that picked Ed O'Bannon. We know how that turned out. So, and Ed was a really good college player, but he had some knee issues. And yeah, I mean, it's just, I just think you got to kind of, you know, take it with a grain of salt as far as, and it's just, it's never going to go away. You know, the mocks are here forever. I mean, same with the NFL. So you just, I just think you can't get caught up falling in love with certain prospects.
Would you be able to track the accuracy of it, or would you even care about the accuracy of a mock draft?
You know, it's funny. Well, I don't. I think you know, Jonathan Givony, who does our mock draft. I think he had 27 out of the 30 first round picks that he hit on. It's just a matter of where. And you know, there's, you know, I've talked to teams. You know, Daryl Morey has come out publicly and said that the draft is probably the hardest part of the job, as far as from a, you know, just picking. You know, you're basically picking on potential because most of these kids are only there a year and. In college, and you're basically, the first year is really a developmental year here. So, but yeah, I mean, the accuracy, I think they were pretty good, but there's always the wild cards. You know, there's always wild cards that, you know, you might have in that 45 to 50 range, and they sneak into that back into the first round.
Well, speaking of wild cards, the Raptors have one of those in a guy that we don't know what direction he's necessarily heading in, and that's Pascal Siakam. Mm-hmm. And when I look at the players that they have right now, with Barnes, with Van Vliet, with Boucher, with OG, with Gary Trent now signed, this is not a terrible roster if they add something substantial to that group, is it not?
No, I agree. I mean, that's why when we did our future power rankings back in, I think it was like April, I had Toronto at 12, and even that was based on Kyle not being here, just because I thought with Fred and Pascal, OG, Gary, you know, certainly Gary Trent, and adding a top, you know, four or five pick here, that there's a foundation in place, and you trust what Masai and their group has been able to do, finding under the radar players like, you know, Boucher, Van Vliet, drafting Pascal in the late 20s, you know, certainly OG in the early 20s, I want to say. So you know they can go out and find players here. Are they in the top four of, you know, with Brooklyn and Milwaukee, Miami now, Philly, those things? Probably not. You're probably in that, you know, you're probably in that five to eight range. But you do have some building blocks. It's not a complete, you know, teardown here. As I said, it's just basically like a little bit of a retool and kind of just finding, you know, maybe two more guys out there.
So here's, we were talking about this before, because Aaron Baines is officially waived by the Raptors. When you're playing center in the Raptors, is it more difficult than somewhere else? Or how do you view that? Because what they tried last year was a disaster.
I think it's not the place for a traditional center. I think, if it's Siakam playing some five or Boucher playing some five, if you are more of a, you know, post-up type guy, I mean, even Alex Len, right? I mean, his stay was short, and he actually was pretty decent in Washington after he went there. So I don't think that's probably not a position of need there, because I think you can play certain guys. If when Siakam comes back from his injury and you play maybe Boucher there a little bit here. But yeah, I think you have to, there has to be a certain criteria as far as when you're identifying a center for this roster.
Do you see the Raptors as a player of any kind for Ben Simmons? And if not, where do you see him going?
Well, it depends on the asking price that they had asked from Toronto was like ridiculous. I mean, it's like, you know, no offense to Ben Simmons, but he's not like Will Chamberlain or Bill Russell. I mean, like, come on, like God almighty. He's not even James Harden, you know, like, or, you know, some of these other all-star packages. He's not Damian Lillard. So it's a matter of, I think, what if the Sixers, you know, bring the asking price down, they were looking basically for all three of your main guys. You know, like, that is not happening, and to basically gut it, and then you have Simmons, who's a good player. So I think he's in a Sixers uniform when we get closer to training camp. We'll see how it plays out here. We'll see if there's any work in progress from an offensive end. That's, you know, certainly they, you know, made it a priority this year here. So, but yeah, the asking price right now is a little bit high for a guy who's under contract for another 4 years.
Meanwhile, the rest of the league, or not the rest, but a lot of the league has bulked up with big names. Certainly the Lakers do this on a yearly basis. Of the teams that did that, who did the best job?
Well, I mean, I think the Lakers, certainly the names will sell, right? I just don't know what the product will be. Look, you know, on paper, yeah, you know, when you get Westbrook and then you add, you know, I guess Carmelo and Kendrick Nunn, who was all rookie a couple of years ago, and you've basically filled it out with a bunch of older players. Yeah, I think based on what they had from a limited resources standpoint, you probably like them as one of the favorites. I think, you know, certainly Phoenix being able to basically, you bring back the same group with Chris Paul, and you re-sign Campaign. We'll see what else they can do with some of their moves. I think Brooklyn made a nice recovery. I think losing Jeff Green to Denver hurt, and then Patty Mills is a really good player. I mean, you'll see him against Team USA with Australia. It gives him an insurance policy, certainly with Kyrie.
So our old friend DeMar DeRozan has signed with the Chicago Bulls. Thoughts on that?
It's funny, you know, it's funny how this league works. I mean, DeMar was, you know, he was staring down at like the mid-level exception. I mean, that's where the market had gone, and he's a heck of a player, but this was a cold, frozen market here, and fortunately the Bulls stepped up here. I mean 3 years, 85 is a great number for him, 27 per. It's a good fit, I think, with LaVine and Vucevic, Lonzo Ball. We'll see if they can add some bench support here. But, you know, he was pretty adamant that he wanted to try to win. It's interesting that the team that, you know, is, you know, I don't think he had many options, you know, and, you know, they're trying to crack a playoff drought that I think lasted for, you know, 4 or 5 years. So I'm happy for him because he just kind of fell under the radar. All these point guards kind of got a lot of attention.
Bobby, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. Like what he said about the Raptors, and, you know, to get that five spot out of the way. I mean, it is a peculiar way they do it, but in terms of, it doesn't play like that in other teams, but everybody knows that it is like that. So I don't know if you bring a bona fide big in. They sort of do it from within.
Well, if you don't have it, you can't, you know, you can't play with it. And that's what they had to do last year when Baines didn't fit and Len didn't fit. Even though Len went somewhere else and played okay, they had to figure out other ways to do it. And what they found with Boucher was, offensively, he was fine.
Right.
Defensively, or rebound-wise, not so fine. And so you're going to have to figure out how you're going to do it. But I think while you're sitting here kind of wringing your hands, or some of us are collectively wringing our hands about the state of the Raptors with Lowry gone, I think they have five or six sort of reasonable quality NBA players. None of them are going to pull you out of your seat unless Siakam goes back to being what Masai thought he was.
Right.
The rest of but there's a lot of good. Fred Van Vliet is a good NBA player.
Oh.
OG is a good NBA player. Trent is a good NBA shooter. I think there's guys here, and again, we don't know what Barnes is yet.
No, but, you know, going through the roster, the games that we did last year were, so many guys sat out when they got hit by COVID. We literally saw them empty the bag of tricks. And there were people that you would see starting that would never start before. And you go, well, I didn't know he could do that. I mean, there's some depth there.
Well, one of the things that if you watched the league last year, you saw what the star did, what Giannis did, or what Trae Young did in Atlanta. Or, you know,
sure.
Those big guys did big stuff for those teams. I don't mean big as in physically big, just big in how they play
big
on
numbers.
Their teams.
Yeah.
And when they do that, but when you look at the rest of the Milwaukee Bucks, it was like, okay, Middleton is sort of almost a star. And then Jrue Holiday, maybe he's sort of a, and then it drops off. And any of these guys, like a Siakam, like an OG, like, they're as good as the complementary players, if not better, on the championship Milwaukee Bucks team.